Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
We are in our Letters to the Church series. And does anyone remember what we talked about last week? It was Romans. I gave some highlights from the letter to the Romans. And I just went through and gave a bunch of different Romans verses that I love because I've got a bunch of them that I really love. Today, I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you want to know how this letter starts out, 1 Corinthians 1, it says, I, Paul, so Paul wrote the letter, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all of those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that this, the church of God that is in Corinth, those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I think that sounds like people that we want to be too, right? And ones that are wanting to call on Jesus and follow Jesus. So this letter to the Corinthian church, I believe, also applies to us. We can say it's a letter to us. So the question that we're asking is, as a person who is trying to follow Jesus, how do I live? What is God looking for from me? Because that's what we all want, and that's what we all need. And so what we find in these letters, as we're going through this series, Letters to the Church, it's challenges to the church, it's encouragement to the church, and I hope that you're encouraged today, too. So I decided to go with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're only going to hang out there today. That's it. And I'm calling it unity. All right? Unity is what our focus is today. Although the title in my particular chapter is Divisions in the Church. Okay? So I was like, well, that sounds very divisive. Let's go with a more unifying title. We want to talk about unity. God is all about unity in the body of Christ. And I'm going to start by saying this. I feel like we have a pretty unified church. I actually really like that about our church. But we maintain unity by talking about the importance of unity, right? That's how it is sustained. That's how it continues through the ups and downs of life, is when we talk about God's goal, which is unity. And I referenced last week the fact that there's so much in our world right now that is, you know, causing division. And, you know, you can sense it maybe at your job, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe in your family. I've experienced it even in my family. Division. It could be political. It could be socioeconomical, it could be just relational, you know, just opinions and perspectives and things like that. But God's heart is for unity. And so Paul kind of spoke to this, and I'm just going to read it, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. God is building. You are God's field. God is building. God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Oh, we have a responsibility to take care of God's temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. All right, those are a lot of verses to say how important it is to address division, to build a solid foundation, to pursue unity. And so the first thing that Paul does is he addresses the Corinthians as infants in Christ. And so what he's talking about is remaining spiritually immature, that can hinder growth and unity in the church. Okay? So there, the source of division would be things like jealousy and strife. And it's a fleshly mindset, right? It's us still needing to be redeemed, right? Still needing God to work on us. And what he's saying is, it's really important that we become spiritually mature so that we can help promote unity in the church. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how long you go to church. You could sit at church for 50 years and not become spiritually mature. Attending church and listening to sermons does not make you grow spiritually. Amen? Okay, that's the truth of it. And Paul is just pointing it out, and it might be uncomfortable to hear. Now, I know that God's word does change us. So even you just coming to church and hearing God's word, that is going to change you. I believe in that. But you're going to remain like a spiritual infant if you do not go deeper with God and stretch yourself. So, you know, we had a baby over at our house on Thursday evening, 9 months old. And this 9 month old is trying to walk. And the way that you learn to walk is by challenging yourself and stepping outside of your comfort zone. And this baby was reaching up for things and pulling herself up and trying to, you know, make her way around. And it's kind of nerve-wracking for everybody else because they're like, what's going to happen? Is she going to fall? But it involves stretching yourself. And I would say, if you want to grow spiritually, you want to grow closer to God, you have to stretch yourself beyond what you are currently doing. Okay? You will not grow unless you stretch. You will not get greater strength unless you stretch yourself. Now, I think that also life provides us with opportunities to grow if we will take advantage of them. But this looks like, okay, I have never spent time reading the Bible and studying it with another person. I've never done a one-on-one Bible study with somebody. Oh, that sounds super uncomfortable. That will stretch me because I won't know what to say. How will I know what to say? What if they don't know what to say? What if they know everything and I know nothing? You know, it's stretching, but okay, I want to grow. I want to be spiritually mature because here's the thing. A one-year-old eating the baby food, that makes sense. But when you are 7 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, and I have to give you the baby food, that's not a good look, is it? There's something wrong there usually. That's a sign of a lack of health when someone that's 15 is still eating baby food. And so you have to think to yourself, it's uncomfortable. This is going to stretch me, but do I want to grow? Oh, I want to grow. And so I put myself in an uncomfortable position. I've been literally doing this my entire life. I keep putting myself in uncomfortable positions that force me to grow. Have any of you ever filled out a resume and maybe added something on the resume that was a bit of a stretch? Anybody? I actually, when I first in my resume, I included that I was a little league baseball coach because I did coach my little brother along with my dad. I coached him for a baseball season. All right. When it was 5 and 6 year old boys, I coached with my dad. Okay. It was fun. I loved it. And when you're 18 years old, like that was one of the things I had done. I had limited things I'd done. So it was on my resume. But then like 10 years later, I turned in a resume that I had updated, but I forgot to delete the baseball coach thing. And the guy interviewing me asks me about the baseball team, and my mind goes blank. I was like, baseball? Little League? What? I don't coach baseball. I was like, what is he talking about? He says, it says here on your resume. I'm like, oh my gosh. I did 10 years ago. I did that 15 years ago. I don't know. Forever ago. I did that. Let's stretch ourselves. Let's stretch ourselves. Let's go beyond what we've done before. Let's be willing to grow. All right. Let's be willing. Let's actually pursue growth. And I just gave you one example, but there are other ways that you can grow. Let's think about that. It could be committing for 6 months to teach Sunday school once a month. Stretching kids. Oh my gosh. You know, uncomfortable. You know, it could be, oh, I'm going to serve on the church council. Like, oh my gosh. Like, and it grows you spiritually. It does. It grows you. I keep saying yes to things that are uncomfortable and that stretch me, and they grow me. And they grow me. And you know what? I never know what it's preparing me for until I get there. That's the thing. My mom always said, we just keep on walking in obedience, the next thing. And she says, you never know what it's really preparing you for. But years later, we find out. Oh, God was doing that so that when this happened, my world didn't fall apart. I knew what to do already. I was already disciplined enough. I was already spiritually mature enough. And you can be someone who promotes unity in the body of Christ when you are spiritually mature. And I saw this with my parents because I'm bragging on them because they're a good example I have, and you know they're not around, so I can talk about them. But you know, somebody's going to talk bad about somebody at church, they just shut it down. Oh, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to tear somebody down. This is a brother or a sister in Christ. It doesn't mean I'm blind. It doesn't mean I can't see that there might be a problem. But I'm going to recognize where my role is. Do I need to go speak up? Do I need to go talk to the pastor about it? Or do I just need to pray for him? I'm not going to tear them down. I'm going to build them up. I'm going to promote unity. I'm going to promote oneness. And so, all right, I got to keep moving on because there's so much that we could talk about. But then Paul says he and Apollos are merely servants. Verse 5-9, you know, he's talking about how God gives the growth. And this is just a really important posture for us to all keep. When you are then spiritually growing, you're maturing, you have to keep the posture of, I'm just an instrument in the hands of the musician, the hands of the master craftsman. I am the clay, he is the potter. You know, the position of like this piano, it's not on. There it is. I'm the one that makes it make music, right? The piano is the instrument. We are the instrument. God is the musician. All right, and this isn't what Paul says specifically, but it's the point that we can very easily get it in our heads that we're the ones making stuff happen. Even like if I pray for somebody and they receive Jesus, or I pray with somebody and I see that Holy Spirit is touching and they're healed, there can be an instinct to go, I must have prayed a good prayer. Oh my gosh. Or I must have said something really wonderful. Wow, I wonder what I said, you know? There's this human tendency. And then it comes back to, oh, you got to do a heart check and go, wait a minute. I didn't do anything. God did that. God completely did that. I am just the instrument in his hands. I'm just the one being available. And then that helps us keep perspective. And this is something I will say over and over and over again. Perspective and humility is really important. Really, really important in the body of Christ. Because it's not one person that makes anything happen. It's many people. And in God's kingdom and what God is doing, you know, that's why it's so important for us to stay aware of what God's doing outside of the United States, right? Like Foursquare Missions International and all the things that we give to and support our missionaries in Canada and things like that. Because what God is doing is so much more than just right here. Yes, here is important. God placed us here. Here is important. But it's not just us. We're not the only ones worshiping God on Sunday morning. We're not the only ones setting up and tearing down and you know, making makeshift churches. They're all over the world. People are doing that. There are people hiding places so they can worship Jesus. There are people in places where they can't even, like, sing out loud. They have to whisper for fear of getting thrown in prison for worshiping Jesus. So we are just part of what God's doing. And then when we keep that perspective, wow, it keeps us really humble. And I think that promotes unity in the body of Christ, because there's nothing like thinking that you're the one making it happen to promote division. When one of my daughters thinks that they're the one that did it, suddenly now there's a disagreement, there isn't unity, somebody's fighting, because they all want the credit. Right? Everybody wants the credit. But when they're humble about it and we realize, no, we did this together. We are a family. And God is actually the one orchestrating it. We're just a part of what he's doing. Wow, that really helps us keep perspective. And I felt like God wanted to highlight that one as we get ready in a couple weeks to celebrate our 30th anniversary for the church. Because I just think that that is such an important perspective that God wants to highlight for us, that we've had four different pastors over these 30 years. And they've all invested different things and planted and watered in people's lives. And people have come and gone and come and gone and come again. And you keep pouring your life into them. And that is the work of the gospel. And it's not, and it's the Lord that brings the harvest, right? And it's God that brings transformation. And so I just think that that's really cool to keep that perspective. Do you realize that we each get to be a part of that? Not just the pastors. We all get to be a part of that. And so if we can have that humble posture of, okay, wait. So God does the work, but he also expects me to participate. You hear what I'm saying? It's not for me just to sit here and let God do what God's going to do. I think he also expects us to get up and plow the field. He expects us to water. He expects us to participate, but then he gets the glory. He gets the credit because he's the one that makes things grow, and he's the one that causes us to be healed and flourish. And so then he talks about just building on that foundation of Christ, how important it is what our foundation is. And we talk about that at church a lot because I'm a really, really big believer in having a solid foundation because I know one thing, and that is that storms come to everybody. Some seasons of your life will be more stormy than others, right? And you'll, of course, feel like, well, in your own life, when it rains, it pours, right? It's not one thing that goes wrong. It's like 10 things all at once. You know, I remember my washing machine broke. And then while I was still trying to fix the washing machine, the dryer broke. And then the fridge started freezing up weird. And then, you know, like it just all happened in the same month. How does that happen? You know, I have no idea, but it does, right? And so you will feel like when it rains, it pours on you, and you might feel like, oh, it's nothing's happening to them. Their life's so blessed. What am I doing wrong? But here's the thing. Sooner or later, it does rain on everybody. And it's so important that we become spiritually mature so that we can handle these ups and downs of life. So that our foundation is not shaken by those storms, all right? And we have to remind ourselves what our foundation is when that storm is coming. You have to go, okay, my house is built on the rock. My family is secure. I have to remind myself all the time. You guys know I've got a sister that I'm praying for, and I have to remind myself God's power is great. What my parents trained her to know and to love and to serve the Lord. And I believe that she's going to be reminded of the truth of God's love for her. And God's going to put people in her life who can speak truth over her. And I know that she's going to love Jesus with all of her heart and raise her kids to know Jesus and love Jesus with all her heart. And she, you know what I mean? Like, I know that. But I have to remind myself of that. I have to remind myself of what my foundation is. Because when things get shaken by the storm, you have to remind yourself, oh, wait, wait, wait. No, I know what God said. I know what I've built my life on. I know the truth. And you have to speak it out loud. But you can't do that if you're not spiritually mature. You can't do that if you don't know what God's word says. If it's not like something that you're reading daily, then you're not going to know what to do. And so that's okay. If you're in a place where you don't know what to do and you're a little bit younger in the Lord, that's why we also have a church community. Because we have somebody who can speak the truth over you. Just like when a toddler is learning how to walk and the adult grabs their hand and leads them and shows them how to walk. Or when they fall, picks them up, right? That's what we do for each other in the body of Christ. But here's the thing. Your goal should be to not stay at that state where you need help, but to keep pursuing God so you know him better so that you can be that for somebody else, so that you can recognize when somebody's in need and you can help encourage them along the way. So I think I am about to close this thing. I could keep talking about First Corinthians probably all day. But I want to close with the thought about avoiding self-deception and boasting in human wisdom, that futility of worldly wisdom. And sometimes it's interesting. I remember when I first went to college, that first year of college, I felt so smart. At the end of that first year, I talked like I was the smartest person in the world because I had learned so much. And I had learned so much about the Bible, and I learned so much about everything. I learned a lot in 1 year. That freshman year of college, it was a lot. And my poor parents and everybody that knew me, I was just, you know, I knew everything. I knew the answer to everything. And then by the time I graduated college, I realized how little I knew. And it feels like every year since then, I'm like, there's so much I still don't know. Like, I've learned a lot, but I've got so much to learn. I'm going to be learning till the day I die. I just know I will. And I love that. And Paul's saying, if you think you're wise, if you think you know what's up, if you think you know big picture, if you think you know what's going on, probably not. Probably not. We want to seek God's wisdom, right? Not man's wisdom. We want to seek God's wisdom. Proverbs 4 says, wisdom is the most important thing, so get wisdom. If it costs everything you have, get understanding. Treasure wisdom and it will make you great. Hold on to it and it will bring you honor. There's the way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death, right? There's the human understanding, and I think I've got it all figured out. And then there's the wisdom of God that goes, I don't have it all figured out, but my life is surrendered to the one who does. And that is the posture that a spiritually mature person has. That is the posture that promotes unity in the body of Christ. When we say, I don't know all the answers, but I know the one who does. And I am trusting in him. I'm trusting in his plan and his purpose. And I am leaning on his wisdom. That's the position I believe that we take as believers. And that's where we have unity and continued oneness. But we have to keep pursuing this, right? Because unity is not a one-time thing. There are a million causes for division that could come up. There could be, we talk about the offense, how it could come up. You know, two people could be talking to each other after church, and one looks at the other wrong, and then somebody's offended. You know, and then you have to just apologize, take responsibility, and move on. You know, be like, my heart is not to offend you. I love you. We want to promote unity, right? And so that's basically what I see in this chapter, is that God's heart is for unity in the body of Christ, but we've got to be spiritually mature in order to be there, and we've got to keep growing together, and we have to be pursuing God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. We have to stay in a humble posture, that position of, like a child, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know everything, but I know the one who does, and I'm leaning on him. I'm trusting in him. And this is what allows us, when we're shaken, when the challenges come up, whether the storm is, you know, something in your family, something financial, or even something relational within the church or another friend, then you know what to do. You know God's word. You know what he says. You know how to respond with love. You already know. And so this is why we spend time in God's word. This is why we listen to Paul's letters to the church. And we go, okay, wait a second. This is instruction for me for how to live. And it's preparing me for things I don't even know are up ahead. Can we just accept that? That sometimes you might read something in the Bible and think, that's not for me. That doesn't apply to me. Maybe that's for other people. But maybe God's preparing you for something in the future. Maybe God's preparing you to be able to encourage somebody else in the future. So if we take that posture as we're reading the scripture, wow, it's going to be incredible. I think that God's word is going to come alive to you in new ways when you're reading it like that. Oh, this is instruction that will help me actually promote unity in the church family. Wow, I love that. That excites me. I think that that's really cool. And I think that when there is unity in the body of Christ, that also promotes unity outside, right? It starts to spill out. And I know that our world could use some more unity. Amen. We want to be, obviously, the one that unifies us, right, is Jesus Christ. And so that's who we're looking to, and that's who we're wanting to point people to. Because apart from him, we can't do anything that's good. And we cannot experience that oneness. When scripture says how beautiful and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. It's something that brings the heart of God such joy. He loves that we are diverse. He loves that we're different types of people, different ages, different backgrounds. Like, that's what God loves. But do you know how rare that is to actually see in a church? It's kind of rare, if I'm being honest. Because why? It's uncomfortable. We like what's the same as us. We want everyone to be the same as us. And so, wow, if we're spiritually mature, then we can actually link arms and serve God together with people that are different than us. I think that that's amazing. I think that's the heart of God. And I love that we get to practice that in this community together. And so I'm really excited about that.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.